Hello, friends. Don't you want to meet a nice girl?
Welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 20. I have to admit that even though I've been doing this for 20 episodes now, I'm a little more nervous than I have been in the past because I am joined today by a very special co-host, interweb celeb, Rachel Moore. How are you, Rachel?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad you could join me today because this is a big episode for us as we're hitting our 20th one, and we have a lot to talk about today. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of what we normally do, I want to give a big thanks to fellow podcasters Dangerous Memories and the South Coast Toy and Comic Show, where we were this past Sunday, for having us there. We had a lot of great interviews with Gabby West from Saw 3D, the fantastic Ox Baker, wrestling legend, Felix Silla from Buck Rogers and the Addams Family, and the list went on and on. It was just an amazing time. So thank you to all of those people. But as we start off the episode today, I want the audience to be a little more familiar with my co-host. So, Rachel, could you tell us a few words about yourself?
Let's see. Oh, man, I don't know.
So I know, it's a very open-ended question, right?
I know, I'm not good at, like, pimping myself out. So, I've been in the industry for about 7 years. I started over at GamePro, and I managed a site for them called Game Girl. And then I went on to write for places like freelanced for EGM and Machinima, and now I'm doing YouTube videos because I like doing videos.
And they're great, actually. I just watched the one you posted the other day, co-hosting the Japanese travel show.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
I know.
How odd was it walking around with? I don't know. Was that puppet on a stick or?
She was on a stick, and like the camera guy is just holding her out in front of the camera, wiggling her. Everybody, like everywhere we went, everybody was super receptive. They're like, what is this? She's adorable. And then we told them it was for like a Japanese show. They're all just like, oh, that's great. So everybody was really cool.
Is it weird that they've kind of, I mean, clearly you don't speak Japanese, hence the voiceovers, but is it odd to watch yourself with like the voiceover like that?
Yeah, it is funny. I was actually hoping they were going to get a super deep voiced guy to do my voiceovers. Like, like when I would talk, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. I'd feel like I was at a Capcom panel or something.
I know.
So getting into the regular episode stuff, we always like to start off with our geek outs and freak outs, whatever we are currently geeking out over or freaking out over. And I'll give you the opportunity first. Is there anything that you are particularly geeking out over lately?
Yay!
Probably all the like new Star Wars action figures and toys that are, they always like come out right before Christmas. So I collect action figures and especially Star Wars ones. So I just got the new like little Star Wars Stormtrooper lamp, who's really cute. And he's also a clock.
Oh, nice.
But they also make it in Darth Vader and in Boba Fett. So those are on my Christmas list.
Fantastic. I'm geeking out, and I know you are a little bit too, at least lately. I'm geeking out over Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched your video that you had a little bit of difficulty starting up with it.
Yeah, well, I did it wrong.
Well, so. I have to admit something, because I think I was kind of doing the same thing you were. Because I don't know what it is. They don't really have a very clear definitive path to go down, and it is so open-ended that you can kind of avoid the main storyline for a while.
Yeah, and like you want to go buy everything so you can, because it makes money every 20 minutes. So
sure.
I was like, I'm going to buy everything right now so that every 20 minutes I'm making a lot of money. And now I have too much money. And I totally went about it the wrong way. But I still think that the platforming is less than stellar.
What issues are you having with it?
I just don't like the controls, and I don't like the, like, my run button is the same as stick to everything button.
So oh, really?
I'm running from a bad guy, or I'm trying to take a corner really sharp because I'm chasing somebody.
Yep.
And my character just instantly sticks to the closest wall, and that's annoying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I hate sticky walls.
I think I definitely ran into that same issue that you did, where I bought up like everything except I had like 2 Borgia towers left because I hadn't started going through the storyline yet. But mm-hmm. then I haven't had as much of an issue with the platforming. I do run into little like quirks here and there, but overall I'm loving the game so far. And there's been a lot of criticism on the internet that it's not really a new Assassin's Creed game. It's more like Assassin's Creed 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a similar feeling to that?
I really didn't like 1 or 2, and I didn't even finish 1 or 2. So I thought they were so boring. And I think Brotherhood is a little bit more action-based than the first two were. But I don't know. I really couldn't speak on that since I didn't play the first two all the way through. I got bored really quickly.
Yeah, they had a lot of monotony in the tasks that you had to perform over and over again. Have you tried out the multiplayer at all?
I haven't. I'm not a big multiplayer player.
Yeah. I haven't been huge on multiplayer. I mean, the biggest thing that I've played multiplayer, at least this year, was Uncharted 2, which was the most amazing multiplayer I've ever played. But
Well, everything about Uncharted 2 was the most amazing of all.
Oh, yeah. The game is flawless, really.
Yeah.
But Brotherhood, the multiplayer, is like living in a world of paranoia because you could be... The whole point, unlike other multiplayer things where you kind of run and gun, it's avoid the other players, but everybody looks like an NPC as well as the other players. So you could literally walk around a corner, think you're totally safe, and someone stabs you in the face.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different level of like multiplayer and paranoia and stuff, but it's actually kind of a breath of fresh air amongst all the run and gun games.
Yeah, that's true.
But I definitely think you should give that a shot. Aside from that, I'm also geeking out over Dexter because next week is the season finale, and this particular season has been amazing. Do you watch the show at all?
I have been watching it since day one, and I had even read the books.
Oh, really?
I am not all about the new season. In fact, I don't think I've liked a Dexter season since the end of season two. I think they're all the same. They're the same formula.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone finds out about Dexter and he ends up having to kill him. That's the same thing over and over again. And now, like when last season they incorporated the baby and I didn't like that because all of a sudden it was Dexter being quirky.
Mm-hmm.
And now this season it's like a romantic comedy almost. It's Bonnie and Clyde. It's a Angelina Jolie spy movie. And I'm so done with it. But I still watch because I love it. So whatever.
I'm curious. I know at one point they were kind of following the stories in the books to a degree, and then they veered off and went into a more original road. Do you know at what point in the seasons that kind of happened?
I don't, but I mean, there was a lot of things that were different right off the bat. Like in the books, if I remember correctly, Deb knew about Dexter all along.
Oh, really?
But it's when they really took the turn away from the books that it just went downhill for me.
Oh, all right.
If you read, like after watching, and I tried this because I was like, I can't be crazy. So I rewatched right before this new season just started, I rewatched season one.
Mm-hmm.
And season one was so much darker and it had so much more. It was all about not Dexter being a serial killer, although the focus was more on that, but it was also about the other killers that he was going after. And this,
right.
And now it's just kind of like Dexter after bad guys.
That's true. Do.
So yeah, I like the darker, just gorier, just rawr of season one.
They have been tending to humanize him slowly and slowly, like as they progress forward.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's to try and make him more relatable. Like, would the soulless, cold serial killer still be appealing into a fifth or sixth season? Did they almost have to go down this route?
Yeah, I think because a lot of it didn't get popular until like season three or four. That's
right.
When I'd say mainstream hopped onto that bandwagon. So I do think they've had, just like games do, when the mainstream gets into the series, they have to water it down. And I think that's what happened to this. As soon as I started seeing it get popular, I was like, oh man, Dexter is definitely going to get watered down. And for me, I think it did.
I'm still way on board with it. I can see what you're talking about, though. The points are definitely valid. I am excited that they did just get renewed for a sixth season, too, because I'm going to keep watching. I love the show.
I will, too.
was there anything else you were geeking out over, specifically?
You know, I'd want to say Epic Mickey, but the more I play it, the more it breaks my heart.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I am the biggest Disney fan you'll ever meet. Like, I'm huge. Not the movies, but the parks. More specifically, the parks. And that game is so awesome, yet so bad. If it was not Disney, I would hate the game. Because
really?
It's just, the controls are worse than some N64 games I've seen. The graphics aren't even that great. The camera is a pain. And it does get very repetitive. And there's just simple mistakes. Like, the whole point of Epic Mickey is either painting or destroying the world around you using paint or paint thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go into a level and I spend, you know, an hour to an hour and a half repainting the whole level, rebuilding it to be beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and then I leave that level and come back for some fetch quest, everything is unpainted again. And that drives me crazy.
Oh.
Like, save all the work I'm doing if that's the point of the game.
Sure.
So, yeah, the game is, the context is awesome and the content is awesome, but the delivery is really bad.
Oh, that's too bad. I heard that they were slowly going to be putting out versions for the other consoles, so I was excited to play it on PS3 because that's the only console I own right now. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I still want to give it a try, but it's a little disappointing to hear that it's not living up to what it looks to be.
Yeah, I hope they fix the graphics. I mean, the controls for if they do put it on other systems.
I've also heard there's some major camera issues.
Yeah, the camera issues are some of the worst I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that's too bad. Had a lot of promise.
It did.
Is there anything else you're freaking out about?
Oh, freak out! Other than my computer problems? No.
Would you like to elaborate for the listeners?
So I was in some betas, and I installed their game, and it installed or destroyed some kind of codec I had, and therefore my computer couldn't recognize, open, or read any kind of media file. Lots of research later, I couldn't figure out what it was, so I had to restore to factory default for my system. And I'm an idiot, and I didn't save my Steam password, and so I can't access my Steam account. Like, I can't sign in because I don't remember my password. When I say recover password, it tells me I can't because I don't have the game and or the client installed on my computer. But I can't install the client without my password. And I can't get into customer support without signing in.
Ugh.
And it's just like, it's the biggest, worst, just mess ever. And I would like to reinstall my Steam games into my computer because I bought some specifically for my airplane flight back to North Carolina, which is on Friday.
Oh, no.
So I buy these games to play on the airplane, and I can't even access them because Steam won't let me download without signing in. I can't sign in without downloading. And
on the clock.
So, yeah, that's what I'm freaking out about.
Oh, very, very understandably. I mean, you can't be without the entertainment or the gaming on the long flights. How long's the flight?
It's like 6 hours, which to me is crazy long. Like, after 3 hours on a flight, and I'm just like, get me out of here. So.
Yeah, and you know they're going to be showing some wonderful movie on the in-flight TV, so.
Yeah, yeah. I hear it's Night and Day, or Eat, Pray, Love, which both of those I would, I cannot stand romantic comedies, so
yeah.
Both of those are huge no's.
Night and Day was not horrible. I haven't seen Eat, Pray, Love, but there's at least a fun element of Night and Day. So if they play that, then it might be worth your time. But if you're gaming, then forget it.
Yeah.
This week, I'm freaking out about the fact that I have so much to watch and to play, and I just do not have enough time for everything because I'm cranking through Brotherhood right now. Meanwhile, I just had Fallout New Vegas come in the mail, and it's sitting on my shelf untouched. And, I mean, how do you fit all the time in for the gaming that you want to get in? Because I am not finding any of the time necessary.
No social life, and it helps that I do it for a job.
That's true, yeah. I'm working towards that angle. Right now, I'm a high school teacher, but I am working towards the, who knows, maybe I'll be in the game industry type thing. If this ever takes off.
What do you? You must be like the coolest high school teacher ever. If you're a gamer,
I think my kids find me a little odd. I'm a gamer and I'm also a independent pro wrestler, so I'm not, I guess, the typical teacher. But I do teach like design and technology stuff, so I guess I'm expected to be a little quirky anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. Another question I had for you, just because I feel it would be an anticipated freak out for you, is, and we talked about it last week on the show, recently, I know you're a big Disney fan, and recently Disney made the announcement that their latest movie, Tangled, that just opened, is going to be the last of their series of fairy tale movies. How do you mm-hmm. feel about that?
I think it's about time.
Yeah.
It's our generation and the new generation of kids just aren't about princesses anymore. And I don't think Disney really knows how to do a good fairy tale movie anymore. They've kind of, Pixar does, but, or Pixar just knows how to do really good adult kid films, but Disney doesn't. Disney has gone the way of DreamWorks, and that's why DreamWorks will never be like Pixar, because DreamWorks puts comedy into their movies that are relevant right now.
Yes.
And Pixar doesn't. Pixar puts comedy in there that's going to be relevant 10 years from now. But if you, you know, make a movie and you make a joke about Justin Bieber, that means your movie's only going to be successful right now. And I think Disney's done that. And with like Tangled and Princess and the Frog or whatever that was called, it's just this cheese element that they think that just because it's a kid film, it has to be super cheesy. Mm-hmm. When someone falls on their butt, it has to make a womp womp sound. And that's just so old school that nobody really likes that anymore.
Yeah. The most of the articles I had read that have all said that since the society has changed so much, little girls don't want to be princesses anymore. They're already, by the time they're like 8 or 9 years old, they're already looking at all these pop icons. They're more concerned about being pretty and sexy. And that's like disturbing in a way.
Yeah, it is. But I can totally, totally see it.
Yeah. It's too bad. I mean, it is the end of an era for Disney. And there's something sad about that. But at the same time, you're right. Maybe it is time to move on.
Well, it's also good because Disney, the parks, have this terrible habit of integrating their films into their rides, and I don't want that. Like, I understand the Pirates and Pirates Caribbean. They put the Johnny Depp pirate in there. Right. They did it tastefully, but right now they're changing some stuff to the Haunted Mansion, which just infuriates me because that's my favorite ride. And, you know, they've got, like, they just have silly characters that nobody cares about at their park, and I think they need to focus on keeping Disney World and Disneyland magical and not having to do silly movies. Like, Disney movies haven't been good since after, I think it was like Lion King, when they started doing Mulan and Emperor's New Groove and those kind of movies. Those were just terrible.
In the park to film translation, are you worried then about Jon Favreau's version of the Magic Kingdom that'll be coming out?
That's going to be terrible. That's going to be so, so bad.
I just don't know why they're doing it.
Yeah, it would be, it's so bad. I do think a Tron ride could be actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, at, I don't know if you've ever been to Disney World, but
it was a long time ago. I think the last time I went, they were testing out Splash Mountain.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at Hollywood Studios, which used to be MGM, they have this roller coaster. It's all done in the dark, and everything is lit up with neon and black lights, called Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yep.
And Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster, apparently the contract is about up. I think it would be ridiculously stupid of them not to just keep it the same thing but kind of gut it and then make it a Tron coaster.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
If you're already riding in a limousine for the ride, then just make it, you know, one of the bikes and keep the blacklight element and just make it, yeah, Tron coaster. That would be absolutely crazy awesome.
Yeah, it would. I have to agree there. I would go back to Disney for that. Absolutely. Yeah.
I go at like I go to Disney World about twice a year and Disneyland about 3 to 4 times a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking to an amateur here.
Oh, no. I've been going to Disney World. I used to live down there when I was little, so I've been to Disney World over 30 times.
Wow.
I know. I've been more times than years I am old.
That's crazy. Is it true that they got rid of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Disney World did, but Disneyland still has it.
Okay. As long as it's not 100% gone, then I'm not completely heartbroken.
Yeah. No, Disneyland's got it. In California.
Excellent. Excellent. The last thing I wanted to bring up real quick, and partially because you tweeted about it the other day, is that the co-host of Attack of the Show has been replaced. Apparently, Olivia Munn's moved on to bigger and better things. And they brought in Candace Bailey, who, frankly, I've never heard of. But you had a very valid point. Like, where's the love for the geeks? And I'm thinking specifically, they even have it already in-house if they wanted to bring up like Allison Hayslip, or I know Morgan Webb's doing X-Play and everything, but why not Allison for a co-host? She's a proven true and true geek. So
right. Well,
why not use
she
that?
She does tons of stuff at G4, and why not bring her in and then bring someone to take her place? I mean, there's not a shortage of pretty geek girls that know what they're talking about and are good on camera.
Right.
There's tons of them. I can name tons of them right off the top of my head. And instead, they go hire a not very well-known random actress who has no history in the geek world. And it's like, why? That's G4 already gets a bad rap for showing reruns of Cops and having moved away from their geek and gamer roots.
Yeah.
And then they got ditched by DirecTV, and they're like, no, we're going to fix things. And then they go and just make a bigger mistake than they had before. It's like, you're completely slapping all of your viewers and your fans in the face and just saying, what you like, what you care about doesn't matter.
It's
we're
true.
Just going to keep producing content. We're going to force feed you content by people who don't care about your interests or people like you.
I'm not even sure how big of a geek Olivia Munn was to begin with. I always felt like she was kind of playing the part.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know. I think it just says a lot. A lot of people, any girl that picks up a Rock Band controller, they like to say, oh, look, she's a gamer girl. But, you know, I really like to tell people, look, if you think this chick's a gamer, or if you're wondering, find out her Xbox Live name and look at her gamer score. That's all you have to do, because there's a lot of girls. There's a lot of girls in the industry who like to promote themselves as a geek, but they don't even own a system.
Yeah.
And so, you know, check out your females first.
It's understandable why they would do that. I mean, they're a very niche crowd, and they're a very loyal crowd, all the geeks. Like, if you can get in with them, and they will also research and do the background checks necessary, like you said. So if you're a true geek, you will stand out amongst the others, I would think.
Yeah, you kind of do have to prove yourself, guy and girl. It's not just the girls. But I do understand the girls' point of view, too, because it is a very easy industry to get instantly famous in. And, I mean, there kind of is a reason why most of them are in L.A., because a lot of them are interested in acting and being an actress. So that's another thing is a lot of people do use this industry to spawn an actual Hollywood career, which is sad.
Yeah.
Because you should be in this industry because you love the industry, not because you're hoping you're going to get to mingle with the famous people and get into Hollywood some way.
Exactly. It's an odd parallel to make, maybe, but there's a lot of people in the professional wrestling industry that kind of, that same thing goes on. There's a lot of people who say they're never going to leave. Pro wrestling is their thing. But then you have like The Rock go off and make movies. You have John Cena go off and make movies. Meanwhile, some other people like Triple H, who have always been in the industry, he'll go make a movie, but then he will always come back because his passion is pro wrestling. So
a
true geek will go off and do other projects. Sure, nothing wrong with that, but come back to us.
Yeah, always remember your roots. But if you don't have those roots, then you were in it for the wrong reasons.
Exactly. Any other freakouts before we move on?
No.
Okay.
I am freak done.
Alrighty. Something else we do every show is I often put my co-host on the hot seat. So it's your turn this week. We play a game called Top 3.
Three, two, one.
Basically, I'm going to give you a category. And you give me the top three things for you that fit into that category in no specific order, because that's even more thought necessary.
Yeah.
All right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The category for you, since I know the gamer geek girls walk a fine line between being girly and being geeky, even though it's easy sometimes to be in between. The top category that I have here is the top three most adorable characters in gaming.
Adorable. Aw.
That's the response I'm looking for.
I find two different things adorable. I find weird things adorable. Like, yeah, Yoshi's adorable, Kirby's adorable. But the way I am, I like really weird things. So I'm going to say Big Daddies.
Wait, what?
They are so adorable. The way they kind of lumber around and they seem so, they're like big Eeyores. And the way they're so cute when they want to protect their little sisters. Like, I want a Big Daddy walking around with me everywhere. I will hug him and kiss him and call him Mr. Bubbles all day.
I am never going to be able to play BioShock the same way again.
They are adorable, though. They're like big, big labs. They're just loyal, sweet, cute. And I just picture them looking up at you with big eyes, just going, well, hello.
Oh, bother.
Exactly. So, yeah, big daddies are adorable.
Okay.
Alistair from Dragon Age. Totally adorable.
Can't say I'm familiar.
He was this Templar, he was a Templar, and he's super cute and witty and funny and sweet. And in Dragon Age, you always could build up these super, like, relationships with the characters. You get to know them, and how you interact with them is going to help build your relationship. So I played the game 4 times. All 4 times, I ended up marrying Alistair. Just because I completely adored the guy. His character is just the cutest thing in video games. So he's adorable.
Excellent.
Because he was like this loyal, again, he was like a loyal little puppy dog. He was like, love me, be my friend.
So you like anything that just follows you around, like, loyally?
Yes, I want everything that I want to pinch its cheeks and go, you're just so cute. Alistair was that to me. And I guess, I want to say Nathan Drake, but he's kind of the same adorable as Alistair.
He's a little more badass than adorable, I would think.
Yeah, but Nathan Drake is the hottest thing ever. then I'm going to have to say, this is another weird one, but okay. I'm going to say Kratos.
Wait a minute. Okay. Big
Me
Daddy.
And Kratos,
I gave you Big Daddy. Kratos and adorable. I've never thought anyone would possibly have that connection.
Well, he's adorable because he's so passionate. He's so like, grr, I'm going to kill everything.
That's so sweet.
You just want to be like, put your hands on your hips and go, oh, Kratos, what you doing over there killing those bad guys? You're so cute.
I can see him turning around with the blades in his hand just going, I don't know.
I know. He might be like, but they were making me mad. Yeah, but that's adorable just because he's just always so angry.
Now I got to commission an artist to draw a picture of like chibi Kratos.
Yeah, you just want to go pat him on the head and be like, don't be so mad, Kratos. Come on,
okay.
let's go get a milkshake.
Wow. Those are not even close to the answers that I expected.
I know. It's weird. Like, yeah, it's weird. I like horror films and I like super over the top gory stuff that makes me laugh.
Yep.
So yeah, gonna ask adorable. It's probably going to be something weird.
Wow. Well played then. I'm going to remind the fans real quick too, that if they have any ideas for top 3 categories, send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. I just got a huge list of them the other day from one of our fans, and I'll be rolling out some of those in the future. So very excited about that. We're going to take a quick commercial break right now, and in just a moment, we're going to be back and take a look at some of the listener emails, as well as go into the news. So we will be right back. So, Anna.
Yes?
Christmas is on the way.
It is.
It is.
Stressful time of year.
Yeah. Where do you do most of your Christmas shopping?
I do my shopping on Amazon.com because I can do all my shopping from the couch.
Really? Well, that's very convenient.
It is. It is. It takes the stress out of the holidays.
Did you know that The Geek Generation is an affiliate of Amazon.com?
I did not know that, Rob.
You didn't? Well, what you can do to help The Geek Generation is go to www.thegeekgeneration.com, click the Amazon button, which will take you right to Amazon, and when you buy all the Christmas presents that you're going to buy, you'll actually be earning us a commission as well.
That sounds too easy.
So go to thegeekgeneration.com, use that Amazon.com button, and make us some money while you're doing your Christmas shopping.
It's super easy, and if you don't do it, you're a bad friend.
Hi, this is John Schneider, you know, the Bo Duke guy, or the Smallville guy, Jonathan Kent. And you're listening to The Geek Generation. That's not my generation, that's your generation.
We are back, and we're going to take a look at the listener emails. Last show, I asked you, what is the greatest piece of sci-fi technology? From a movie, TV show, video game. I expected a lot of great answers here. I got a few, not as many as I was hoping for, but there are some good ones here. Before I get into the listener emails, is there anything that jumps to mind for you, Rachel?
I would definitely say probably I think it was called the Replicator in Star Trek.
Oh, yes, the food replicator.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd be like, I want a cheesecake that's got no fat, no calories, and it's going to taste the greatest thing ever. And then, bloop, 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 there it would be.
See, I never even considered the no-fat option. I always thought, just give me the food.
Yeah, well, you'd think in that tech, if they were that technologically advanced, whatever.
Technologically advanced?
That word, yes. If they're that advanced, then they've got to be able to make food that has no caloric value. That's completely right. Like eating air, but you still get your vitamins and stuff. But I'd also like the holodeck. I probably would never leave there. I'd make the perfect world. Mm-hmm. I'd make, you know, Alistair and Nathan Drake both be there. And then I would just walk in and you'd never hear from me again.
And you could have a big daddy just follow you around on a leash.
Yeah. Kind of like Inception. I would never, if I could go into my dreams and never leave, I never would.
That's scary. At the same time as it's wonderful.
Yeah, if you can make your own reality, then why live a reality you're not happy in? Just go live an alternate reality and, you know, do your thing. If reality is how we all is, how each person perceives it anyways, mm-hmm. then yeah, why not make a reality that you're 100% happy in?
Interesting argument. We actually mentioned the holodeck last week too, briefly, and it was pointed out that the only time we ever saw in episodes, it was always breaking and being dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
So that's the only thing to consider, I guess, in that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it works fine. We just never see it working fine sometimes.
Then I would take a working one.
There you go.
Specifically.
To take a look at the listener emails, the first one comes in from another gamer girl, Anna Zifkak, who says, I would like to agree with Todd twice this week. Todd was our co-host on the last show. She says, first, the poll question, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy would be the coolest piece of sci-fi tech. Knowledge is power. And the TARDIS is a space-time machine, Rob Durr, and you should check out Doctor Who. I've never watched Doctor Who. Do you?
No, I hear all about it all the time. I think it's kind of quirky and corny, right? Or slapstick.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I was saying last week I've never seen it, and I feel like I'm not 100% geek because I've never watched an episode of Doctor Who.
Well, I think from what I've heard, it's the type of comedy that I don't like. So I've always skipped it because I'm not into that type of comedy stuff.
Gotcha. She says, second, The Incredible Hulk is the greatest roller coaster I've ever been on. I rode it about 6 times in a row. Have you ever ventured out to Six Flags and ridden The Incredible Hulk ride?
Which Six Flags?
I'm not sure. We're in New England, so I'm assuming it's somewhere in the area.
Huh. No, I don't think I've ridden that. I rode a Hulk ride, I'm pretty sure, at Universal.
Oh, okay. Adventure. You know what? You're right. That's the one that they're referring to. I don't know why I'm thinking Six Flags for some reason.
That ride gave me the worst headache. It beat the crap out of my head. So no, I didn't like it.
All right. The next one comes in from superfan Chris Tong. He says, favorite gadget from a movie, huh? How about one of the magic wands from Harry Potter? I don't know about you, but there are so many things I could do with one of those. Then again, you'd probably need some of those spell books to go with it. So I guess it would be a package deal. Glad you guys had a good time at the con. Love the interviews that you, Heck, and Todd were able to get. Keep up the awesome pod blasting. Chris Tong representing Wichita, Kansas, watching X-Files with the lights on, to quote the Bare Naked Ladies for a second week in a row. But Chris Tong, a magic wand is not a gadget.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic, but there's no technology involved, unless, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's just, isn't it just like a wooden stick that's magic?
Yeah, and sometimes they have like a different component of an animal or a mythological creature like intertwined in it, but no technology there, Chris. Sorry. Next one comes in from G1. He says, so favorite piece of sci-fi tech? Virtual reality. Or even better, augmented reality. Think holographic makeup and personal HUDs. I was a big fan of movies like The 13th Floor and Lawnmower Man. Of course, The Matrix and Inception were great, too.
Oh, yeah, that's what we just talked about.
Yeah, so I guess that goes right along with the holodeck idea.
Yeah.
Next one's in from Joe Palumbo. Hello, Rob. I will make no mention of anything besides the question in this email because I know how much you and Todd hate when I say I'm busy. As far as the best piece of sci-fi tech, I'm not digging very deep. I think the greatest thing we could ever have in real life that exists in television or film is a teleporter. either from Star Trek or even The Fly, hopefully without the same results as The Fly. This would eliminate any and all traffic, it would reduce pollution, and there would be no plane, train, or automobile crashes. I could also live and work anywhere I wanted. There are just so many awesome possibilities without being able to teleport somewhere in an instant. I'm sure there would be a million cons to outweigh the pros, but I don't want to get into them, and I just want to enjoy going lots of places. Other things I would also enjoy, but not be as functional, a lightsaber, a hoverboard, or a time-traveling DeLorean. Anyway, that's all. Keep up the good work.
I would like time traveling. I already have a lightsaber, so that's all good.
Force effects?
Yeah.
Excellent. yeah, teleporter. That, as cool as that would be, I don't know if you watch Big Bang Theory, but I thought it was interesting the point that they brought up on there about teleporters, that basically what you're doing is you're ripping all your molecules apart. So you're basically destroying yourself and then reassembling a new version of yourself that's not really you every time you teleport.
Well, wouldn't it be cool if you can put into the specs how you want to come back out? I would like to be 10 pounds lighter, less wrinkles.
I'd be teleporting all the time.
I know, right? This would be awesome.
We'd start getting confused as to who was who. Someone would just show up all of a sudden and be like, ah, I don't know you.
Yeah, I know. What are you doing in my house?
It has so many great applications, though. Someday, hopefully. Next one comes in from Mike Volpe. He says there are so many cool sci-fi technologies such as lightsabers, space travel, flying cars, hoverboards, and so on. I think it's funny how everyone has lightsabers and hoverboards in there somewhere. In my opinion, the best sci-fi technology is time travel. We've all thought about the things we could change, or we would change if we could, only go back in time. Traveling back to the start of the universe or to major historic events could be life-altering. Major religions and beliefs could be debunked or proven true in a matter of minutes. Imagine looking into the future to see how your life could turn out, who your spouse is, your future children, job, house, etc. The possibilities are endless, and so are the potential consequences of changing events in the past and future. These can be seen in movies like Back to the Future and A Sound of Thunder, in which the future is drastically altered due to a slight change in the past. Time travel is without a doubt one of, if not, the most impressive sci-fi technologies ever created. I feel like I just read a school essay or something.
I know. I like how much thought he's put into it, though.
Yeah, everyone, our fans are very thought-provoking, I suppose, is the word.
I like that. That's really cool.
Yeah. Time travel would be cool. I'd want to go to the future just to see what the tech's like and what society is. I don't know if I'd want to necessarily see my future self.
I don't think I'd go see my future self. I'd like to go back in time and kind of freak, like, mess with people. It'd be cool, like, to go back to, like, maybe when they're super conservative. What was that, like, the 20s or 30s? Mm-hmm. And then just go in, like, a bikini and then run through the hallways or the roads being like, wah! And then time travel back up. And then forever there'd be this legend of this half-naked girl running through the streets.
And no one would ever be allowed to speak of it because they're so conservative.
Right. That'd be awesome. But I think if I could change anything, I would go back and stop John Lennon from being killed.
Big Beatles fan?
Yes. Especially yeah. John. I adore John. So yeah, I would go back and be like, don't go home right now.
And is There's not back- today the anniversary of his death?
Today is the 8th. Oh yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting. I cannot believe I forgot that.
Good connection, though. How about that?
Yeah.
Our very last message is very short and comes in from Matt H. He simply says, Star Trek phaser. Weapons are always fun.
That's, yeah. That could definitely get me into a lot of trouble.
Stun everybody. All right, the listener emails were just about through now, so I am going to put out this week's poll question, and we'll answer it ourselves a little later on. But for the fans for next week, what was the best game released in 2010? We're in December now, and we are going to be doing some of our countdowns on future shows. But before we do, I'd love to hear from the fans and ask you what your favorite game of 2010 was. That can be sent to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on the Twitter. And with that, let's go right into news. Warner Brothers Pictures is going to reboot Buffy the Vampire Slayer in a brand new movie. Now, there's a lot of backlash on this announcement from loyal Whedonites, and the most amusing thing about the whole thing that I found was the response from Joss Whedon himself. Joss Whedon says, "This is a sad, sad reflection on our times, and people must feed off the carcasses of beloved stories from their youths. Just because they can't think of an original idea of their own, like I did with my Avengers idea that I made up myself. I always hoped that Buffy would live on even after my death, but you know, after. I don't love the idea of my creation in other hands, but I'm also well aware that many more hands than mine went into making that show what it was. And there is no legal grounds for doing anything other than sighing audibly. I can't wish people who are passionate about my little myth ill." Any thoughts about that?
I think the only thing he's done that was good was Firefly.
I have not seen Firefly, and actually I never watched Buffy either, so.
You were just saying that you thought you weren't a full geek because you didn't watch Doctor Who, but you haven't seen Firefly? Yeah,
I have not.
Oh my god, it's the best TV show that has ever graced our TV.
Oh, you just love it because Nathan Fillion's in it.
Yeah. But no, no, it's just the best show I've ever seen. It's, holy crap, amazing.
Was Serenity an acceptable ending to the saga?
Absolutely. I adored Serenity. It was very few times have they ever been able to make a movie off of a show or a video game that just felt right, and mm-hmm. Serenity felt right.
And the series itself was what, 1-2 seasons?
No, it wasn't even a full season.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I guess it won't take me that long.
Nope, won't take you long at all. I've seen that series like 5 or 6 times all the way through. I adore it.
Wow. Yeah, I'll absolutely check it out then if it's that short. That's a weekend, maybe, if that.
Yeah.
Next story. A new Assassin's Creed is coming next year, along with some Brotherhood DLC on the way. Jeffrey Sardin, Ubisoft's... Now, being in the industry, maybe you can correct this for me. I hear some people say Ubisoft. I hear some people say Ubisoft. Is there a correct pronunciation?
I've heard people that work there call it Ubisoft.
Okay, I'm going to go with that then. Plus, I like the sound of that better.
The PR people I know say Ubisoft.
Excellent. Jeffrey Sardin, Ubisoft's marketing and sales chief for Europe, Middle East, and Asia, shared the news that, quote, "Next year we will have another big Assassin's Creed game." On the Brotherhood side, the first DLC pack is titled Animus Project Update 1.0. Included is a new game mode called Advanced Alliance, which is like Alliance mode but harder. Along with that is the new map of Mont Saint-Michel, located on a rocky tidal island of Normandy in France. The Animus Project Update 1.0 pack will be released December 14th on both PlayStation Network and Xbox Live for the very, very low price of absolutely nothing. That's right, it's completely free. I love free DLC.
Me too.
I think if they had released something this soon after the game's release, they would get a little bit of criticism for not including it in the game.
Yeah, I think so.
And that brings up an interesting thing that I'm wondering if you have an opinion on in regards to DLC. I've always had a bit of a gripe with the different game outlets competing with different versions of exclusive DLC. As a gamer, I want everything I can possibly get in my game all at once, and I don't want to have to worry about where I'm going to buy it and knowing that there are certain things that I'll never have access to because I don't want to buy 3 copies of it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I definitely like everything all at once.
Do you worry at all, or do you do the research to find out which exclusive you want to get with any particular game, or?
I do. I usually will always go 360 first because of the achievements. But so when I'm looking at if I'm going to pre-order it and where I'm going to pre-order it, that's difficult. Like for Fable 3, it was really hard because Best Buy was offering different free stuff than EB, and EB was offering different stuff than Amazon. And at the time, it's just like, I don't know which one I want.
Yeah.
Because it's all stuff that I want, but I can't have all of it. So
exactly.
That was difficult.
And I don't really care for that. I think they should be treating the consumers with a little more respect than trying to compete and pull us in multiple directions. And a lot of the times it's misleading because a certain place will say, you get an unlock code for this particular thing. And then you get the game, come to find out you could have earned it by playing the game through anyway.
Yeah.
So it's a big bummer. And then maybe another store had something that actually was exclusive and you went for the other thing. And it's just a mess. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, they're taking advantage of our love for their game.
They are. I don't appreciate it. Next story, new Tomb Raider graces the cover of Game Informer. The January issue of Game Informer magazine will feature the latest iteration of the Tomb Raider series, simply titled Tomb Raider. The game is described as follows. After a brutal storm destroys the boat she was traveling on, a frightened young woman is left washed ashore on an unknown beach. On her own, but not alone, she has only one goal, to survive. Here begins the first adventure for a young and inexperienced Lara Croft, in a story which charts the journey of an ordinary woman who finds out just how far she can go in order to stay alive. Daryl Gallagher, head of Crystal Dynamics, says we should, quote, forget everything you knew about Tomb Raider, and that this is, quote, an origin story that creates Lara Croft and takes her on a character-defining journey like no other. Tomb Raider's still around.
I know. That is a horse that should have been shot a long time ago. It's just that game, that franchise has been just repeatedly just hammered into the ground, and I never even liked it in the first place. The controls were never good, and I thought the overall story was just ridiculous, and it's never gotten any better. So
The latest one,
I can't remember what it's called, Guardian of Light. Even a Tomb Raider game. That game, the only thing that makes it Tomb Raider is that it's got Lara Croft in the title.
Yeah.
That could have been any other game, so I don't even count that as being a Tomb Raider or Lara Croft game.
And that's like almost a top-down action game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't really
very
played that
Gauntlet-esque.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little scared that this reboot of Tomb Raider is going to inspire the problems we're seeing in movies already with so many franchises being rebooted because, like Joss Whedon said, people aren't coming up with original ideas.
Yeah.
And I don't want that trend to go full force in the gaming industry at all.
It already is. I mean, we had the reboot of Castlevania, and it's just, oh my god.
Now, that one I had heard wasn't even intended to be a Castlevania game, and they ended up tacking it on later.
Oh, you can tell.
Yeah?
The only reason, it's because that game would have never sold if it didn't have a popular name attached to it. The game is not good. It was pretty, but it was not good. And I think the only reason it sold is because it said Castlevania on the box.
That's too bad. Don't want our, like you said, our beloved franchises just being chopped apart.
I know, and that's what worries me with this whole Uncharted movie coming out. That is going to sour the magicalness of Uncharted to no end.
Yeah, we talked about Mark Wahlberg's casting a little bit last show. And I mean, I'm a ginormous Mark Wahlberg fan. I love him, but to play Nathan Drake?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, now with the fact that they're adding a father and an uncle?
Yeah, these things are not in the game. And it's just going to be kind of comedic if it's De Niro and Pesci, like they're saying.
To me, it just was Mark Wahlberg just wanted to think of who have I not worked with or have worked with before that I want to work with again. Oh, we'll just write them into the script.
Yeah, and he clearly has some pull with David O. Russell because they worked together so many times, so.
And he doesn't even know anything about the game because part of his acting style is like with Max Payne. He never played the game because he wanted to create the character on his own.
Sure.
You can't do that. If it's a character that's never been established, then, you know, more power to you. Make it your own. But a character that's already established, its personality, the way it walks, the way it talks, you can't make that your own. You have to be that character. So just, I'm disgusted by it. It should have been Nathan Fillion.
I agree, and he was he really wanted it too, which always makes me lean towards someone.
Yeah, I saw his Twitters. He wanted it pretty bad, and stupid Marky Mark.
now someone mentioned, I think our co-host last week mentioned that the character model for Nathan Drake was modeled after Nathan Fillion. Do you know if that's true?
I had heard from Amy Henning that it was kind of it was kind of like Mal, but Han Solo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was supposed to be Mal has this, he's, you know, hard, but he's got the soft part, and he's a little, I guess you could say he's got this romance or romantic aspect to him.
Yep.
But then he's supposed to have also the wit of Han Solo.
Interesting. I can see that. Well, they did a fantastic job because Nathan Drake's the man.
Yeah, and obviously they didn't talk to Naughty Dog about this at all.
Oh, I know. It doesn't seem like they would have approved this.
I would love to talk to like Amy Henning and get her true, honest opinion, even off the record.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me go to coffee with her and get her true, honest opinion. I'll never repeat it about this movie. I'd love to hear it.
I don't know. Do you think the Uncharted brand would have brought in enough of a viewer base, or did they have to go after a bigger name like Mark Wahlberg?
I think both. But I don't think Mark Wahlberg is really that respected of an actor that he would bring in a big fan base. I would think it would be like Nick Cage or something like that.
Oh, that would be terrible. That'd be even worse. Yeah,
that would be really bad. But I think they should have made the movie for the gamers,
mm-hmm.
but still make it being able to watch by people who had never played the game, like Serenity. Serenity yep. can be viewed or watched by someone who's never even heard of Firefly, and they'll love it, but it's also made for the fans.
Sure.
And that's a very hard thing to get, but when you do it right, you've got magic. And I think they could have done that with Uncharted. I think Uncharted has enough in its just in its own to be able to reach out to the people who've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But also make it fan-based.
Absolutely. Yeah. They could have easily had all the Easter eggs in there for the fans and still made a really solid movie just on the premise alone.
Yeah.
Let's see. The next one. Hey, it's talking of DreamWorks Animation. DreamWorks Animation lays out its planned sequels. DreamWorks Animation chief Jeffrey Katzenberg sat down with Empire Online to discuss the plan for sequels to some popular DreamWorks animated franchises. Currently planned for release on May 18th, 2012, Madagascar 3 will likely be followed by a fourth Madagascar film to round out the series. The third film is bringing the animals back to New York where they started and leaving room for a conclusion. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not like the Madagascar franchise.
I don't like anything Dreamcast does.
Really?
I think... Did I say Dreamcast?
I was just going to let it slide.
Dreamcast is one of my favorite systems of all time. DreamWorks. Yeah. Didn't like anything they've done.
Oh, really?
It's all just super tongue-in-cheek, cheesy as all, and just I hate it.
I just thought the first movie was really creepy with having the dynamic of wanting to eat your best friend the whole time. That's just wrong. They also added Kung Fu Panda 2 is scheduled for May 27, 2011, and plans call for it to be followed by an additional four films, making for six chapters in all. Now, I actually like the first Kung Fu Panda, but... six of them? That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, boo.
And
that's just people just not knowing, have no creativity at all, and they're just going to keep milking a franchise until it's dead.
Oh, you want to hear milking a franchise? Wait till you hear this.
Oh, boy.
How to Train Your Dragon 2 currently has an unscheduled release plan for 2013 and will be followed by at least one additional film. Regarding the Dragon series, Katzenberg said, maybe more, but we know there are at least three chapters to that story. There are actually eight books. No! Eight How to Train Your Dragon movies? I loved the first. I thought it was one of the better movies this year. But eight anything, except for James Bond, is a little odd.
Yeah, James Bond.
Yeah. James Bond, and yes, thank God they're coming back, but I don't need eight How to Train Your Dragon movies. I really don't.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, little overkill. Little bit.
Yeah.
Jackass 3.5 is going to launch online in March. Paramount Digital Entertainment, in association with MTV, announced today that it plans to release Jackass 3.5 digitally in March of 2011. It'll feature all new content, including never-before-seen stunts, pranks, and other side-splitting antics by the Jackass crew. New stunts and antics from Jackass 3.5 will be released online weekly and then packaged together as a feature-length film distributed digitally, followed by other platforms, including home video. Interesting marketing strategy here.
I used to be the biggest Jackass fan, and I had the hugest crush on Johnny Knoxville, but they are getting too old. They are running out of ideas. Jackass 3 wasn't great, and
it
Jackass 2.5 was awful. Just stop. I know they need to make money somehow. Mm-hmm. Find it another way.
Did you see Jackass 3D in 3D?
I did.
Yeah, I've never felt so homosexual in my life.
There were so many flopping around.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know. I love disgusting, terrible things that are going to offend most people. But there, even in three, they were grasping at straws.
Yeah, I mean, there was some strong content in there, but overall, compared to the others, it wasn't nearly as strong. But they love to shoot additional footage, and 3.5 is going to be exciting for people that are fans of it. I think it's interesting. They mentioned saying that Jackass was kind of like the original YouTube before YouTube existed. So that's why they're deciding to roll out pieces on a weekly basis before packaging it all together.
Well, even the original Jackass, like at least the first season, was stuff that they had filmed for a skateboarding video.
Yeah, the CKY video. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, it was Big Brother first and then CKY videos. And yep. CKY is a band that Bam's brother was the drummer in. So Bam would do these videos with their music and crazy stunts. And then MTV picked them up. It's just weird.
I was happy to see, even though it was kind of odd watching Jackass 3D, where at the end you get kind of sad because it's coming to an end, and that whole montage at the end, I'm like, I don't want to feel like this after watching a Jackass movie. But
it's hilarious.
If they did move on, you're right, if they're getting a little old, it's going to start to cross that line into pathetic instead of funny. So
yeah, I think the problem is they're too well known now. They can't go out in public. Yeah. Without costumes on, and that kind of, it's no fun if you're not watching them mess with other people, because that was one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Like the skit when they're on the golf course, hiding in the trees, blowing the air horn at the people when they're trying to take a swing. That's awesome.
So simple, yet so fantastic.
Yeah, it's comedy gold.
Last story we have in the news here is All-Star Superman hits stores on February 22nd. Warner Home Video has announced that All-Star Superman will be available on DVD and Blu-ray on February 22nd. In All-Star Superman, the Man of Steel rescues an ill-fated mission to the sun, sabotaged by Lex Luthor, of course, and in the process is oversaturated by radiation, which accelerates his cell degeneration. Sensing even he will be unable to cheat death, Superman ventures into new realms, finally revealing his secret to Lois, confronting Lex Luthor's perspective of humanity, and attempting to ensure Earth's safety before his own impending end with one final selfless act. Do you read the Superman comics at all?
I'm not a Superman fan.
No? Nah.
I don't like superheroes with superpowers. I think that it's pretty stupid. I like the guys like Iron Man and Batman who actually use their brains to get powers.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm a big Batman fan myself, but
don't wear spandex.
Have you watched any of the DC animated movies that have come out over the last few years?
No.
Nah. Mm-mm. Not your thing?
Nah.
Yeah. That's all right. That's the end of the news block. So we're going to take another real quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the best video games that came out in 2010.
We all know the best podcast in the world is
The Geek Generation.
But what you might not know is there are other ones, such as...
Like you and me, Hector and Todd. Dangerous Memory.
That's right.
We're reviewing the AFI Top 100, and we're bringing you new episodes every Wednesday. Come check us out on www.hectorandtodd.com.
Hi, this is Charisma Carpenter, and you're listening to The Geek Generation. Yes, you are.
We are back, and as promised, we are going to take a look at some of the best games that came out in 2010. Rachel, if you had to pick one that really stood above the crowd, what would your top choice be?
One? You're only giving me one.
Okay.
Can I have two?
Pick a few. That's fine.
Okay.
We got
time.
I'm
going to go God of War 3 and Bioshock 2.
God of War 3 and Bioshock 2. I played God of War 3. And I'm totally on board with you there. I have not played Bioshock 2 yet.
God of War 3 was just so brutal. It was amazing. It was gory. It was bloody. It was angry. It was awesome.
And all in HD.
Yeah. Bioshock 2 was a very, very deserving sequel of Bioshock 1.
Mm. God of War 3, as far as the plot line goes, do you think it's really the end of Kratos?
They want to say it is, but they totally they left that open-ended. They pulled a Michael Myers at the end, and 1 minute he was there, and then he was not.
Very true.
So, I don't know. I hope so, but I hope not. Like, I love Kratos. I want more Kratos.
Yep.
But I'm just scared if we keep getting more Kratos, it's going to, you know, get watered down and stupid. So, I don't know.
Yeah, you always run into that, that odd line of when's it time to actually cut it off, or do we keep pulling Lost out into two more seasons longer than it should have been? And yeah, it is a fine line. I want to play more God of War games. They're amazing games, but there is something nice about having something end with a definitive finish.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else came out Super Street Fighter 4. Did you play that at all?
I did. I liked it. It was good.
I have a lot of people saying best fighting game ever, and I love it, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Have you looked a lot into Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
No.
No? Not interested?
No, I am. I played a little bit of it, but they couldn't confirm if Cammy was going to be in it.
Oh, yeah, and they haven't made an announcement one way or the other. You're a big Cammy fan, aren't you?
I am a huge Cammy fan, and that's going to be, like, my big sell point.
Yeah. It does look amazing as far as the visuals and everything. I loved Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and it's been, I don't know, what, 10 more years since that one? So This is a very long-anticipated game, which is going to be awesome. Let's see. Heavy Rain. Did you get your hands on that at all?
Ooh, I hated that game.
Really? That is very disappointing to hear. I've been dying to play it.
I wanted to play a game. I didn't want to hit a button and watch a game play itself.
Mm.
It's like that's all it was. It was just QuickTime events. I really didn't get to do anything. And there were times that I'd go back and I'd make a decision. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go back and make an opposite decision. Yet everything still that scene ended the same exact way.
Oh.
So, and then the voice acting was just terrible. I thought it was extremely boring and I didn't like it.
Wow. Well, if the different decisions are leading to the same road, that kind of defeats the whole point of the game.
Yeah. The endings can change slightly, not a whole lot. It's either you live or everybody dies kind of thing. Mm. But it really doesn't change that much. Not like they said. They were like, oh, there's, you know, hundreds of different endings and everything you do is going to change everything. And no, it didn't.
That's disappointing.
It was very disappointing for me.
On my list, I'd throw Assassin's Creed Brotherhood on one of the best games I've played this year. But it might just be my genre loyalty to, or franchise loyalty, actually, because I've really enjoyed the story as it progressed so far. And I am insanely excited for Batman Arkham City, which is due out next year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play Arkham Asylum at all?
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
No? Oh, why not?
I thought it was super generic, and I felt like it was fan service. And for people who aren't fans of Batman or aren't very familiar with it, it was just, it wasn't made for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like if you took out the Batman aspects of that game, it would be probably one of the most generic games I've played in a long time.
Hmm. I am a huge Batman fan, so I really can't look at it unbiasedly, I guess.
Yeah, it was excellent fan service, but
yeah,
that I just thought it was the overall was kind of pretty boring for me.
How about if we take a look at the individual consoles? Do you think you could select like a top from each one?
Not that I know of, because I don't know what's like most of the things I will buy everything on 360 first.
Oh, okay. So sometimes it doesn't even make it to the other places.
PS3, that was really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say for Wii, Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Right.
But even that wasn't a big enough jump from Galaxy 1 that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. What was a first party game on?
I'm sorry, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. In other news. Oh, my apologies.
Skype dropped me.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. I heard your the voice started getting all mechanical, and then you dropped out all of a sudden.
I turn into Iron Man for a few seconds.
For a little bit. That'll just sound cooler, though.
Yeah.
You were saying Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah, I would pick that for the Wii.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't think it was a big enough jump from the first one. But I can't really think of anything first party for PS3 that really made an impact on me this year.
Hmm, that's true. I'm trying to even think of the exclusives, but it didn't seem like they really had a huge amount of really good exclusives this year.
Yeah, not that I know of.
Which is too bad, because I'm kind of a PS3 fanboy, so I want to see him win. What else do we have here? Have you played the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World game at all?
No, I haven't.
No? It was a very classic side-scrolling beat-em-up. It reminded me a lot of River City Ransom, actually.
Every game or movie that has a game come out on Xbox Live Arcade is a beat-em-up. Mm-hmm. Like, even Watchmen was just a beat-em-up.
And that was a terrible one, too.
Yeah, it was. That was really bad.
Yeah, horrible, which is disappointing because the game was so good. I dumped the game, the movie. What else we got here? Ghost of Sparta. Speaking of God of War.
Yeah.
Do you dabble in the PSP at all?
Yes, that was an excellent game. It's about time the PSP got something good.
Now, they say Ghost of Sparta fits in somewhere in Kratos' timeline. Where exactly does that kind of place itself into?
I honestly don't know.
I think it might be between, it might be between 1 and 2, if I remember correctly offhand.
That sounds right, but I don't know.
let's see. Well, there was a lot of new tech out this year, as far as the Kinect and the PlayStation Move. Have you got hands-on with any of that stuff?
Yeah, I don't like either one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the Kinect issue?
I am not a fan of motion control gaming. I think it's so cliche, and none of it ever works the way it's supposed to.
Hmm.
Ever. So I hated it.
How would you compare its usability to, say, the Wii, as far as responsiveness and things like that?
I still think the Wii is much more responsive.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm. I've heard many different reports from many different people. It's hard to find one definitive opinion.
Yeah.
Because everyone has different ideas about it.
A lot of people really want it to succeed. I don't see the long-term value of it. I think it's fun for about an hour, and that's about it. I don't want any of it integrated into my hardcore games. Like, a lot of people are saying, oh, there might be, a Gears of War 3 might be Kinect, and I don't want that at all. If it is, I will not buy it. I have no interest in that whatsoever.
I think motion gaming's strongest outlet is, the party scene.
Yeah, exactly.
You get a bunch of people together, play, Wii Tennis or something, that's a good time.
Yes, definitely.
And even that's kind of the way music games are going. I think within this last year, we've seen a huge drop-off in the popularity of Rock Band and Guitar Hero and all those other music-based games, even though DJ Hero 2 was apparently fairly popular.
Ugh, I hated that game.
There seems to be a trend of those disappearing for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they came out, they were popular, and then every other 6 months, there was new installments, new songs, and I think they just watered themselves down way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just spacing it out and make the gamers ask for it and want it, they're just shoving it down our throat. More content, more content, more content. And now it's just stop, I don't want any more music games.
Yeah, I think offering the new peripherals with each one too was kind of a bog down. I have to get something it's not enough to just buy the new game and get the new songs. Now I have to go buy a new drum set or new guitars because now my old ones don't work, and huge mess.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it once and upgraded my Guitar Hero set when I got to PS3 from PS2, but aside from that, I'm done after that. I only have so much money here.
Yeah, agreed. And plus, it just fills up your living room.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm looking at all the crap right now just sitting on the floor. Any other games you wanted to highlight as far as some strengths that you saw in 2010?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I'm sure there was really awesome Xbox Live Arcade games, but not off the top of my head that I can think of.
How about Splosion Man? I've seen a lot about
that. Love Splosion Man.
Yeah?
That game had some of the best controls just because you would do... The controls were just so precise, like perfectly precise, where you would have to do this crazy run, jump, blind, completely blind jump and land on this itty-bitty platform, and the game could just always nail it. Like, it was... The controls were just so tight and so precise. It was amazing. Awesome.
See, that's the kind of stuff we need. I don't even need a fully imagined, crazy rendered world with all these beautiful things. I just need 2D fun.
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
Super fast paced. It was an amazing game. I loved everything. Twisted Pixel did, except for Captain Smiley. That game was terrible. I did not like it at all.
I've seen the videos of it, and as a comic book fan, I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool, but I've heard nothing but bad things about it.
Yeah. Explosion Man was amazing. I loved the Maw. I think they're a good team. They just, yeah, they didn't hit it right with Captain Smiley.
Hmm. Despite being a PS3 fanboy, I have to admit, sometimes I see something like Explosion Man, and the temptation rises.
It's really good.
Yeah. You're trying to turn me. I sense it.
It's really a lot of fun, and it's super fast paced. It doesn't give you a chance to breathe. Like, you get to a checkpoint and you're like, holy, whoa, I wasn't breathing. It's so fun. It's super hyperactive, give you a heart attack gameplay.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, I think it's a good time to start wrapping up the show this week. I'm going to throw out the reminder to the fans. What was the best game released in 2010? You can send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. I'm sure that after this episode, all our fans are going to want to find out some more about Rachel Moore and look for you on the internet. So how can our fans get access to you?
I am all over the internet. It's ridiculous. But I guess the best way is either just going to rachel.com, and I spell my name weird. It's R-A-Y-C-H-U-L, or TheRachel on Twitter.
All right. So our fans can go to either of those places to see all those YouTube videos. You put up some great game reviews and whatnot. And of course, all the cosplay pictures, which we didn't even mention. Somehow forgot that. Rachel is well known for her awesome cosplay costumes over the internet. And they're great. Actually, and you know what? I was in the live chat that you had on Ustream. Was it earlier this week or last week?
Yeah, it was. I'm losing track of time already.
Last Thursday. And that was fun too. Are you planning on doing more of those in the future?
Yeah, right now I'm doing them every other Thursday, and if they keep getting bigger and better, I'll move it to every Thursday.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure our fans will love to check out some of that stuff too.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I love live chatting because obviously I like talking, so live chatting lets me just sit there and talk.
And if you go watch Rachel, make sure you tell her the Geek Generation sent you so she knows where these guys are coming from.
Absolutely.
So as always, I ask you fans, if you like the show, please tell your friends. Of course, word of mouth is the best way to spread it. If you want to visit the site to see some of the news stories that we talked about today, as well as some other content we offer, go to www.thegeekgeneration.com. If you'd like to subscribe to this show in iTunes, there's a button on the site to do that. While you're there, please rate the show and write a review. There's also a donation button on the site that no one will ever use. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, also send those to podcasts@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. Rachel, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out to sit down with me for this very special 20th episode of Geek Generation.
Oh, thank you.
And we will see you all next time. See you later.